Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to King Agrippa. The response from King Agrippa was, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul then said to him, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Now, Paul was a Christian. He wanted his hearers to be altogether, not just almost, but altogether a Christian. Friend, there's a vast difference between almost and altogether. I recall many years ago, when I was in high school, when our little country football team played against a team that year by year was a contender for the state championship. Why, to even score against that opponent would have been a major accomplishment for a little team like ours. We played so hard we moved the ball within 7 yards of the goal and 4 downs to get it across. But when the 4th down had been run, we were still about as close as one could get, but we were not over the line. We almost made it, but not altogether. When I lived in South Bend, Indiana, I recall a fire in neighboring Chicago at a school building. One small boy was at a window on the 2nd floor, and his father called to him to jump, and he would catch him, and he would be saved. But the small boy was too frightened to move, and was later identified among the dead, having been overcome with smoke. Yes, he was almost rescued, but not altogether. Across the road from where I was reared was a family of children whose father had drowned some years earlier. The father was fishing and allowed his boat to drift too close to the perilous waters around a lock in the river. The boat overturned and he attempted to swim to the bank. He was reportedly within 10 yards of the bank when his weary body cramped and he went down. He almost reached safety, but not altogether. Well, I cite these things to simply impress upon us so we can see the vast difference between almost and altogether. As the song says, almost is but to fail, almost but lost. Now, you know, we read in the Bible of some who were almost Christians. Some were altogether Christians. Well, it's the same today. Felix said, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, Philip was almost persuaded. As far as the biblical record is concerned, that season never came for Felix. He was banished from his position, and as far as we can tell, he died out of Christ. And Agrippa, the one to whom the Apostle Paul preached, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But he left that courtroom after he had heard the Apostle preached, and he left just as lost as when he entered. In the city of Athens, the Apostle Paul preached, "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear thee more concerning yet again.'" But if Paul was successful in planting the cause of Christ in that city, a city with so many self-sufficient sophisticates, he had been successful other places, but he was not successful in Athens, but they were almost persuaded. Well, in contrast to that, we read about people on the day of Pentecost. They were altogether persuaded. They obeyed the gospel. So did the Samaritans to whom Philip preached, and the Ethiopian. And we read about Cornelius and Saul of Tarsus and Lydia, the jailer in Philippi, the Corinthians. Now, that was a group of people that were not just almost, but altogether converted to the cause of Jesus Christ. What is it, friend, to be almost a Christian? It means that one is close to becoming a child of God, but is not yet born into the family. One may have the knowledge of what to do to be a Christian, but he has not acted on that knowledge. Yes, we must know the truth in order to be freed by that truth, John 8:32. But one can know what is right and still not do what is right. And James says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17. On the day of Pentecost, there were many others besides the 3,000 who obeyed that heard the same message. They heard the same instructions, but they did not obey like the 3,000 did. And some today, possibly even some who hear my voice at this time, may know what to do to be saved. But until it is done, they remain no better than just almost a Christian, but not altogether. Recently, a young man expressed to me, with tones of somewhat regret, that he knew as well as anyone what was required to be a Christian, but he was not willing to give up certain habits in his life, habits that a Christian certainly cannot practice. You see, he is almost, but not altogether, saved from his sins. In Matthew 22:14, we read, "Many are called, few are chosen." Friend, having a desire to be a Christian is well and good, but it's just almost, it's not altogether. Agrippa believed the preaching of Paul, and therefore I know that one is not saved by faith alone. But before the Jews became Christians on the day of Pentecost, they expressed their desire to be followers of Christ by their question, "What must we do?" That indicates they believed what the Apostle Peter had preached concerning Christ, being made both Lord and Christ. They cared that much to want to be a Christian. The Ethiopian had the desire to be baptized before he was baptized. You see, there are some that see the advantages of coming to Christ, but friend, until one actually does what is commanded, they're just almost. They're not altogether saved. Now, there may be some, although they do not become Christians, will even make some drastic changes in their way of living, and for the better. But just reforming our behavior is not sufficient. We cannot earn forgiveness of sins by better behavior. Reformation of life is certainly something that is becoming to a Christian, but this change of lifestyle will result from a change of heart and a change of relationship to God. And it's called repentance. Repentance is absolutely necessary to becoming a Christian. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," recorded in Luke 13:3. And this is the change of mind, the change of heart. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, "It shows the change of life that results, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Those who repent and do nothing more, they almost become a child of God. But if they do no more than that, they'll never become a true child of God. Those who genuinely repent will not continue to live in sin, to be sure, Romans 6:1-2. But, friend, good moral living, as vital as it is to be faithful in Christ, that's not sufficient to make one a Christian. Nobody can ever be good enough to be counted among the saved on the basis of their own goodness. Salvation includes doing the will of God, Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." You see, salvation is not by works of our merit, of which we can boast. It's not by works of our own righteousness, Paul said, but it's according to the mercy of God. Oh, yes, we must be good as a Christian. but we can be good in many respects and remain separated from the only Savior there is. Certainly being good makes for a better life, and it's surely beneficial to everyone around us. But such is not God's plan for saving man. There are many good moral people who are not Christians. In Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, he was a good moral man before he was taught the way of salvation. But he was lost because he was not in Christ. And that's where all spiritual blessings are. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Romans 8, 1. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Almost becoming a Christian, friend, is like making steps toward a door, putting your hand on the knob, even turning the knob, flinging the door open, but never going through the doorway. The almost saved are just as lost as ever. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8, 1. This is not true of those who remain out of Christ. It is true of those who are almost in Christ. Let me tell you the way to be altogether a Christian, and it really doesn't take long to tell. The gospel must be heard. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And having heard, this is the reason for preaching, by the way. This is the reason for teaching the gospel so people can hear the gospel. They must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. John 8, 24. It's impossible to pleasing to God without faith. Hebrews 11, 6. And as we have noted, one must repent of his sins. The Apostle Paul taught the necessity of repentance. He said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, 30. And one must confess his faith in Christ, because it is with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And contrary to the teaching of false teachers of the denominational world, one must be baptized, because that's the way one gets into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Repent and be baptized with the divinely guided command by Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Jesus is the one that said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The inspired the apostle Peter said, baptism doth now save us. Well, this is the action that makes one reach the blood of Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And this is how one gets into that realm where salvation is, in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Well, there you have it. It's not until we've completed the process that God has specified that we can properly claim that we're among the saved. No man has a right to set aside any of the teaching of the Lord and claim he has the blessing anyway. But when we do as the Bible teaches, we're not just almost saved, we're altogether saved. But until we do, we are at best almost. Yes, our Lord said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6, 46. Friend, I would plead with you, though there be one thing that thou lackest, don't just almost come to the Lord. Come to him altogether. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.